Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, a High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket, leading to the Bassmaster Classic. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are, and for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation Club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. And now we've added a new element to Bassmaster Radio, and that's our video feed that you can find at Bassmaster.com/radio or go to Bassmaster.com and click on the watch tab and then click on Bassmaster Radio. We encourage you as well to like and subscribe to our YouTube page at Largemouth Marketing. That's YouTube Largemouth Marketing. That's the production outfit for Bassmaster Radio. Jason Christie won a nail biter at the stingy Sabine River this past weekend, making a 2.5-hour run upriver, while second place Brock Mosley did the same in the opposite direction, fishing in Houston on 3 of the 4 days of the event. Christie held up through changing conditions and got his 4th blue trophy to go with a couple of open wins as well. He's coming up later in the Rapala winner's circle. And speaking of Rapala, Seth Fider now sits atop the AOI standings as we approach the halfway point of the season. And the amazing Fighter Man is coming up today as well. In the leadoff role today, Ronnie Moore from Bassmaster Live and the Screen of Knowledge joins us to explain Bass's new fantasy game, the Mercury Bassmaster Drain the Lake Challenge.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And as promised, let's get things kicked off with an exciting new opportunity that has popped up from Bassmaster, a new type of fantasy fishing game, which is really, really cool. Now, this is in addition to our Rapala Fantasy Fishing Contest, which you guys hear us talk about all the time. Great sponsors there of that with Rapala. But this is the Mercury Bassmaster Drain the Lake Challenge. And I guess the best way to explain it, it's kind of like survivor pools in football. But, you know, if you're going to talk about fantasy fishing and fantasy sport, you got to talk to Ronnie Moore. You got to go to the Screen of Knowledge, which we don't have here. We're going to go to the Microphone of Knowledge with Ronnie Moore, and he joins us. Now, Ronnie, welcome back. How are you, man?
What's going on, Tom? I appreciate it. I guess if Greg Hackney mentions on Bassmaster Live that I'm the Mr. Fantasy Man, I guess that's my deal now. And yeah, so he has deemed it that, and so have you. So I'll roll with it. You know what? If you're going to be an expert in something, it's better than being an expert in nothing.
But you've assumed that role beautifully. I mean, when Tommy tosses it to you, and I know that I didn't realize how Zona was into fantasy football and fantasy everything, and, you know, he's really into this stuff. He doesn't like to talk about it that much, but he's into it. But when it comes to breaking it down, you do a great job with it, and so now they've given you another chore with this Drain the Lake deal, so I suppose that'll be that much more screen time for you, explaining to people how their team is doing in Drain the Lake.
It's either more screen time, Tom, or I'm going to have to speak to you them quicker to get it all in at one time. But no, I, you know, honestly, I was tired of losing in Rapala Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing. And I told people, I said, you know what? I'm going to lose credibility if I keep losing. So we're going to have to create a new game mode that I can win at.
Yeah.
And so we just said, Mercury Drain the Lake, let's do it.
I came up with here's my strategy for fantasy fishing, not to be too embarrassed with my own groups. I have come up with a strategy now that I go chalk with three guys. I take one guy that's like middle of the pack, and I look for one flyer. You got all these flyers, and it's like, man, he's either going to look like the smartest guy in the room or his team's going to get, you know, hammered. But I try to be a little chalky with at least two or three of my picks.
I've basically made three or four, at least, have made the cut for day three in every single event this year. But that's I've had one angler kill me below 75th place. I've had Scott Canterbury at the St. John's River. I had Mike Huff down there lower than I expected at Knoxville, and that's kind of his type of fishing. I have Justin Atkins on his home lake at Pickwick. And then Jay Yellis, I figured a seasoned vet would be fishing patiently and would know how to, you know, navigate a tough tournament. And he only had one fish on day one, was down in the 90s, but he had a great comeback, finished 76th in the Sabine. So if I didn't have one tank every event, I would be in the top 2%.
Yeah.
But I know those are if, ands, and buts, and what ifs, and, you know, if a frog had wings, it wouldn't bump as tiny, all that kind of stuff. But I've been close.
It's what makes it exciting, though, and that's what makes it fun to watch. So let's talk about this new game, the Mercury Bassmaster Drain the Lake Challenge. Explain to us now, it'll start this week, this upcoming tournament next week with Fork, and so we basically got half the season to go with this, and I assume that it'll be in the Classic as well, so five tournaments to go. But explain to us the premise of how this works.
Yeah, so normally, you know, in 2022, it'll be for a full 10-event season, 9 Elite Series events and the Classic. For this, because we're picking it up mid-season, we will have the five remaining Elite Series events and the Classic represented. And what you do to formulate a roster, there are eight anglers that you can pick on your team. Normally we have five, one per bucket for Rapala Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing. Well, this one, there is one giant bucket. It's basically one giant pool. I guess if you combine a bunch of buckets together, Tom, you end up having a pool of water.
Right.
So we got a pool of anglers for Mercury Drain the Lake, and you select eight anglers to be on your team. But here's the kicker. You can't just go pick your eight favorite anglers or the eight best anglers in your opinion, because once you pick them, you can't use them again. If you pick them for Lake Fork, you will not have the chance to use them at Neely, at Gunnersville, at Ray Roberts, all of the lakes down the list. Once you use them, they're gone forever. Don't think about them. Don't regret them, because you can't get them back. And so that's the interesting strategy is do you save some of the Canadians for smallmouth water, even though they do well at Pickwick and the Sabine? We saw both Johnson brothers do well. Do you use Gussie up at Knoxville when he wins, or do you save him for the Northern Swing? All of these types of things. Do you use Greg Hagney at the St. John's or Gunnersville, or do you save him for the Sabine? Like, there's so many different strategies that you can use, but use wisely, because if you use eight hammers and they all do great, sure, you can win prizes, but you won't be able to use them the rest of the season.
Yeah, and that's the other part of this, too, is that this year, because we're going to do this halfway through the season, you'll use about half of the field. But next year, basically, you got to use everybody. I mean, you know, you're going to have to use every guy, the rawest of rookies, and pick the spot where you want to use them. You'll have to use everybody. That's kind of the way the math works out, right?
Yes, and that's why I am so excited about that, because I try to go off the beaten path sometimes with my picks, and a lot of guys who go chalk because they don't know any better end up beating me.
Yeah.
But this way, next year, when you have to use 80 anglers, depending on what our Elite Series field is set at, whether it's 100, whether it's 95, whether it's 90, you have to use 80. And so you better know, you know, 30 or 40 guys that you haven't even had to pick in Rapala Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing. You better know them for Mercury Drain the Lake.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you could use them at the wrong time. And so I was joking earlier about it that I created a game mode I can win at, but I do think this is going to really help some of the fans that have extensive knowledge about everyone in the field and not just their favorite angler. So a lot of people are going to learn about anglers, and a lot of people are going to have to take some risks. And I was picking my team last night, you know, well a week over before the event started. And you can go a lot of ways at Fork, and I know that's going to be the same way at Neely. But when I look down the list of anglers, I'm like Champlain, St. Lawrence, Ray Roberts. And I said that as I went down the list, And anyone that I marked as fork, I put them in there. And then anyone I didn't say a lake for, I considered them as maybe an alternative or my last pick for that certain lake. So I didn't set all my lineups, but I definitely looked and saw some guys that I was like, they could be a factor elsewhere. I'll save them for next week.
And here's a dirty little secret, too, is that when you go to the site to make the pick, and it's at, you know, if you go to BassmasterFantasy.com, you see the Drain the Link logo there, and you click on that. And if you're already playing fantasy fishing, you don't have to re-sign up or anything. You're already good to go there. But when you look at the available anglers list there, if you click on, if you don't want to go by alphabetical and look for anglers, you can click on rank, which is maybe a good way to go, because then you're picking, you know, guys from different parts of the field, you know, where they rank right now. So if you're not sure, you can go ahead and click right at the headers there, and it will resort the guys for you. Now, here's the big question, Ronnie, and this involves technology, but once I make my picks the next week, will those guys be off of my board? You know what I mean? Do I have to keep track myself of who I picked, or will it automatically eliminate those guys from my potential team?
So, Tom, if you somehow snuck in Brock Mosley at Lake Fork and then try to sneak him into Neely Henry, I'm going to go in at midnight and I'm going to take him off your team, yeah, and I'm going to leave you hanging. No, I'm just kidding. There are no gremlins that will do that, but we have it programmed where you will not be able to select that angler. You don't have to keep up with it. They're going to, it's either going to be blotted out. They're going to be blotted out, or you're going to click them and say unavailable because you already selected them. So, yeah, that'll be the fun thing for Neely Henry for the next Elite after Fork, seeing who you regret picking already, that I used them up at Fork and I should have used them for Neely. So you're going to need to look ahead of time. And Tommy Sanders said it on Bassmaster Live. Me and Tommy are going to do one next year. It might be a paper league because we might not have it set up through the computer like this, but I'll keep track of it. And we're going to pick all of our anglers ahead of time before the Elite Series season even starts. We're going to allocate 8 per event.
Oh, I thought
we'll
he was.
See how we do.
I thought
and
he was
then we're
serious.
Going to do our own. Yes, oh. We're going week by week and doing it, but then we're also going to do one well before the season and see how it fares.
When he said that, he called it the Legends, pick or something like that. I thought he was serious. I thought we'd have that opportunity because I want to do that. I want to pick the whole season and have my whole team set for the year, and I think that would be kind of cool. And in our last, we only have 50 seconds left here, but there will be a grand champion. Great prizes week in and week out from Mercury. Yes. Good job by Mercury. But our grand champion after these six events, will airfare and accommodations in Michigan go fishing with Mark Zona. How fun would that be? I know you've had a chance to do that.
I honestly am trying to win this Mercury Drain the Lake just so Z has to take me fishing again. Because during 2020, I'm going to just say Z neglected me, and I miss fishing with Z. So I'm going to try to win this thing as well.
Yeah, he keeps threatening to take me, and you know, for 15 years I've known him, and I keep hearing that. Come to Michigan, let's go. That's on me as much as it is him, but I appreciate that, that's for sure. All right, Ronnie Moore has been our guest. Ronnie, appreciate you so much. Keep up the great work. Can't wait for Lake Fork next weekend. It's going to be fantastic.
Yes, sir. We're going to see a bunch of big fish and a lot of big weights.
Yeah, we will. That's for sure. That's Ronnie Moore. Great job by him. All right, coming up next, Seth Fighter will join us. He's leading the AOI as we approach the halfway point of the season. He's next. I'm Phoenix Boats, Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats, Bassmaster Radio. Now a chance, well, we're at the halfway point of the season, and the guy that's leading the Angler of the Year standings halfway through, well, you know him as the Amazing Fighter Man, you know him as the Llama Guy, he's Seth Fighter, and he joins us now. Seth, welcome back to the show, man. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
You know, you're supposed to make your move late in the year. Everybody figures that when you go north and get into the smallmouth waters and so on, this is where Seth Fighter will shine. But this is like found money, man. I mean, you had a great tournament in Florida, a couple of pretty nice stops at Pickwick and at the Tennessee River, and then another great tournament, another final day at the Sabine River. This has got to be like found money for you, doing so well early in the season.
Yeah, really nice bonus. Florida and then tidal rivers are basically my biggest weakness. So coming out of there with good points really helps. And you know, hopefully we're still talking about this at the end of the year. And we got a few more speed bumps in the way. But if we can get up north where I'm sitting in contention, we might have a real shot at it.
What does it do for your confidence, though? You know what I mean? When you know that you can go into these waters, because, I mean, you look at the way your game has grown over the last 4 or 5 years. What does it do for your confidence to know that you can go into a place like the Sabine, which was an incredibly brutally tough fishery, and have that kind of a result?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of luck in that. You know, going into the Sabine, just cashing a check there would have been a win for me. And coming out of there with a top 10, just super fortunate for that to happen. But just weird stuff's been happening this year. I've been making really good decisions, and, you know, hopefully I can keep that going.
One of those decisions was to go to that little spinnerbait that you did so much damage in. Talk to us about that a little bit and how that worked out for you.
Yeah, I had been catching some fish on a spinnerbait through the tournament. I think, honestly, it was just a decision to start where I started on day two. And like I said, just stupid lucky stuff. I was basically the last boat out on day two, and my primary area was about a 45-minute run, and I really didn't get any bites in there the first day for the first couple hours. I kind of needed the tide to go out, so kind of just a gut-check decision. I said, I'll just fish around here for a little bit, partly just because I hadn't caught anything early in the morning, and another reason I didn't want to, you know, jump boat lakes the whole way. I figure if I pulled off and fished for 10 minutes, I'd have a nice clean run to where I was going. And in those first 10 minutes, I caught a keeper and a 3-pounder, and you know, just stayed there and never left that area.
You were extremely consistent, 39 pounds, 7 ounces, so just under 10 pounds per day. And that's how your weights were, 9-13, 10-13, 10-2, 8-11 on the last day. Did you feel like that was the ceiling, though, for that spot that you were in? Or did you feel like that you still had an opportunity to get a good fish, and a good fish being a, you know, a 3-pounder there throughout the week?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, actually, day two, I could have had a really, really big bag. A couple fish got away from me, but yeah, the last day just never had a good bite, but the 2 days prior to that, I got, you know, a couple of good fish in the boat and had some more opportunities. So I knew I had a lot of confidence in that area and knew there were some big fish there to be caught.
I thought for a moment there that you were going to catch a limit of fish off of that stump on Sunday, that one spot, and it was like one after the other. You kind of feel like that's a one-fish spot. Talk about that. Was that something you had marked earlier, or was it something, hey, I'm just out here fishing, oh, that looks good, I'm going to cast over there, and you know, that kind of an adjustment?
No, that was just something that looked good. That bank was really, really shallow. It was a pretty-looking bank. It had some cypress on it and some bank grass, but everything on that bank was, you know, 6 inches of water or less for cover, and that stump was out there in 3-4 feet of water, and I think it was just kind of one of them deals, isolated, good piece of cover with enough water on it for the fish that I actually ended up throughout the day catching a lot of fish off that stump. But, yeah, I think it was just a really prime piece of cover in that area.
Seth Fider with us, leading the AOI at the halfway point of the season. Do you relish this kind of an event? I mean, a lot of guys hate it. A lot of guys love these really tough ones. And what does it do with your mind when you know that, hey, 9 pounds, good day?
Yeah. No, I enjoy those kind of events. I don't want to go to it every single time. It's nice to have some slug fest. But, you know, that tough fishing takes, you know, a lot of guys out of it mentally. You know, you can have really – I mean, the first day of the tournament, I didn't have a fish in the boat till 10 o'clock. Mm. Ended up making a good decision at the end of the day and catching a couple nice ones. But, you know, fisheries like that, I think they're good to mix in on the schedule. And they're kind of actually the easiest ones to win, to be honest with you, just because a couple good bites go so far in those deals versus, you know, like when we go to Fork, you might catch 100 pounds and not win.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's good stuff, Seth Fider. You know, you also gave us a great moment on day three on Saturday when you finally did start catching. Well, I say finally. You were into them in the morning. You started catching them. But all of a sudden, like, there was a flotilla there. It was like all the guys that were scattering all over the Sabine, they decided they were going to kind of hang close to the ramp as well. And you started catching them, and you were giving the death stare to the guys behind you. You're just kind of giving a look. Was that more for you, or did you really have an issue with somebody? Because your cameraman, who did a wonderful job, he never really turned the camera on, you know, to see, is there a particular guy that you had a problem with? But it was a great moment. Tell us about that.
Yeah, those guys in there didn't do anything wrong. I just had one guy was coming down the bank towards me. I was going towards him, and you know, literally, he got 10 feet behind me, and I caught two fish where he just drove his trolling motor. I was just fired up that morning. I was feeling it, and nobody else did anything wrong, and no hard feelings or anything like that. But I was just fired up and in the mind frame where all the bass are mine, and I didn't want to share.
But that was a good look, man. I, you know, I played college hockey, and I've seen that look in guys' face before. You know what I mean? When you, that was like just about ready to go. You know what I mean? Just about ready for the gloves to come off. That was the look. You kind of perfected that a little bit.
Yeah, what I was going for.
it was good stuff for sure. Seth Fighter with us. All right. You know, the other thing, we talked about it being a tough tournament, but it is Orange, Texas. The crowds turn out there like crazy. We have a wonderful affiliate in Orange listening right now to us. And you know, just talk about that crowd a little bit and what it was like, almost a shock to the system to see that crowd turn out the way they did turn out. Record crowds like that, even knowing that, you know, it was a tough fishery and that the people were just wanting to be back out there and seeing you guys.
Yeah, no, it was awesome, especially with everything that happened last year and not having crowds or allowing people at weigh-ins. Every time we go to Orange, Texas, they show out, and I'm pretty convinced those are the nicest people in the U.S. anywhere we've been that I've met. I mean, half of them invite you back to their house for dinner and cook you crawfish, and just awesome crowds. And it's nice to have the fans there again. You know, you all pumped up when you go up there and weigh in, and everybody's cheering. And I know the fishery ain't the best, but you know, the crowds and the people there really make up for it.
No, they're absolutely tremendous. All right, you're a Rapala guy. We're sponsored by Rapala here as well. And, you know, you head off to Fork next, and it's going to be a totally different deal. We saw the damage that Patrick Walters did there last year with the jerkbait in the trees. It's a totally different time of year, obviously April, than it was last year in the fall. But just talk to us a little bit about what might be hanging from your line and what you're thinking, how this is going to go at Fork.
Yeah, I think you're going to see fish in all phases when we go there. There's probably going to be a few fish that haven't spawned. I'm assuming there's definitely going to be some fish spawning, and I know for a fact there's some fish that are done already. So, you know, I think it's going to be really wide open, and the guy's just going to be able to fish his strengths, but I'll definitely have a Terminator walking frog tied on. There could be a good Arashi cover pop bite, and jerk baits might play as well too, like they did last time we were there in the spring, as well as, you know, top water and maybe even big brat, square bill or something like that. It's gonna be one of them deals. Like it's so weird. Out I came home in between tournaments, but originally I was planning on staying down there fishing the Sabine, hanging out, and then fishing Fork. And the amount of stuff you need for the Sabine's like two little Plano boxes, you know, and the amount of stuff you're going to need for Fork is basically everything I own.
So you're not going to throw that little quarter-ounce spinnerbait at Fork? Is that what you're telling us? That's not going to
happen. No, that one's going to stay home. That's one of them places where three-pounders aren't really any good. Two-pounders definitely aren't.
I got to say, man, I really like that Brett spinnerbait or squarebill from Rapala. That is a really nice squarebill in both sides. The big one is fantastic. You'll probably need that there, but also the smaller ones as well. That's a really, really good bait.
Yeah, the small one's a good fish catcher. And then, you know, when you go to places like Fork, that's when you pull out the big one. And maybe not get as many bites, but really target those 4-plus-pound fish.
All right, before I let you go, you got to tell me about the adventures of the proper Bassin' Men, all right? So you're a Minnesota guy. You got the flow going. You hook up with Matt Robertson, who's just as redneck as they come, you know, from Kentucky. He's got the flow going. And then I don't even know Pat Renwick, all right? But I know he's got a flow going as well. So tell us about this show that you guys are going to have and when we can see it.
Yeah, no, it should be pretty hilarious. Not too informative. We're not going to get into line sizes and weight sizes and stuff like that, but it's basically just us, you know, behind the scenes, hanging out, fishing. There's definitely going to be some fishing in there, but not too instructional. And then just, you know, hanging out afterwards, eating dinner, having a few drinks, BSing, and, you know, getting just a little insight in our life, you know.
You guys aren't going to fight over a hairdryer or anything like that, are you? You know, like, you know.
That could happen.
Could happen. You guys had a battle over
it. If somebody uses the last squirt of conditioner, there might be a problem.
There could be a bad. You give him that look, right? You give him that look.
That look will come out.
Break out that look for Matt. That'll be good stuff. All right, man. Well, we appreciate you so much. Great job. Halfway home. And we can't wait to see what happens at Fork.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. There you go.
See ya.
That guy is great. Seth Fider. He has been a pleasure to watch throughout his career, as his career has really taken off, that's for sure.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now time for the Rapala Winner's Circle, and the guy in the Winner's Circle. Well, you've seen the commercials for Express Boats. He says unfinished business. Well, it is unfinished business, but he finished some of it. I mean, he has gone ahead and got himself his first win since coming back to the Bassmaster Elite Tour, and he did it in the fourth event, did it at the Sabine River in a tough event, and he joins us now, Jason Christie, who was with us not too long ago. Jason, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm really, really good. How are you guys?
Well, fantastic. And, yeah, I mean, you know, you got to do the winner's circle stuff. So, you know, who knows? Maybe you've been 2 or 3 times this year. You don't know, right? That could be good.
That's kind of what I'm hoping for. I'd like to do it 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, that would be good. Let's talk about this.
I'm sure there's 98 other guys, though, that probably wouldn't let that happen.
Well, you know, they'll try not to let that happen. There certainly wasn't 98 other guys around you when you were doing what you were doing. I mean, you went a long way to kind of get away from the crowd, and I know that's something that you kind of like to do. You don't really like fishing around other people. Is that true, or is that a misnomer?
No, I don't want to see a single person all day when I'm fishing, if I can choose that.
Yeah.
And you know, some places we can't. You can't get away from people, but the Sabine is—it's tough to do that. But you know, I was fortunate enough to get away from most of them and find an area that I kind of had to myself.
Yeah, you did kind of have it to yourself, and you were going old school with it too, with a lot of spinnerbait. It was kind of interesting to see. You know, Brock Mosley was throwing a lot of bladed jig, and a lot of people think of a bladed jig and the spinnerbait as the same thing, but they're not. Talk about why the spinnerbait for you and why that was so productive for you up in that area that you were in.
Well, I had an area that had a lot to offer. It had cut banks, it had logs, it had dirty water, trees. You know, in that spinnerbait, I can just control the depth. I mean, I might make one cast, you know, to a cut bank, but I need to fish it a little deeper, kind of slow roll it, and then the next cast come down a log. It's just a bait that I can control, and those fish in the area that I was fishing hadn't seen a lot of bait, and, you know, they were biting, and that's a bait that I'm really comfortable when it's in my hand, and I feel like it catches, you know, above average fish. So, you know, the main thing is I can control the depth of the bait.
Yeah, and you know, you showed your versatility, too, with this win because, I mean, you're an Oklahoma guy who has, you know, won up at Lake St. Clair, and now you've won at the Sabine. That's pretty much about as far away as you can go from north to south. It's got to be a big boost for your confidence to be able to get a win like that and just show that you can win on so many different kinds of water.
Yeah, that is a long ways. I just now thought about that. Then you throw South Carolina in there. That's a pretty big triangle. I just need to get me a win in New York and Florida, and I think we'll be good. We'll have all four corners covered.
You probably wouldn't mind getting another win in Texas with you guys going over to Lake Fork, and what a totally different deal that is. We just talked to Seth Fider, and he said he was going to stay in Texas in between the two events and then realized that nothing he had in the boat for the Sabine was going to be any good for Fork, so he went all the way back to Minnesota to reload the boat. It's not as far a run, though, for you.
No, I'm only 4 hours away, and you know, I really am looking forward to this event. This, you know, Lake Fork is a lake that all of the events I've fished there, doesn't matter if it's in the summer fishing deep or spring or whatever, I've kind of always clicked with the lake. So, you know, I'm looking forward to this. It is going to be crowded. I mean, most of the events I've fished there have been 40 to 50 guys with the TTBC and, you know, the BP Tour and all that kind of stuff. This is going to be a full field. It's springtime. There's a lot of people down there probably vacation fishing. So it will be crowded.
It will be maybe not quite as bad as it could have been if it was in May where it has been in the past. Have you fished it this time of year before? Because this is maybe earlier than we've seen any of the major events, you know, at Lake Fork.
Well, the BBT Tour was there last year, I think a couple of weeks earlier. And,
wow.
And yeah, the first day I was there, I caught a 9 and a 10. So on the first day of the tournament. So I yeah, there's just something about that lake. And I may do terrible this event, but, you know, there's some lakes on the schedule that you just you look forward to. It's kind of like going and seeing your favorite cousin, and I enjoy going down there.
Yeah, let's go to, you know, you mentioned that you may do terrible. I doubt that you would do terrible. But this has been kind of a weird season for you. Four tournaments in, you are in fourth place in the Angler of the Year standings. But you were, you know, fishing championship day in Knoxville, final day guy there. I think you finished fifth or so, win this one. And the other one's down a little bit further on the list. You made the cut, the third day cut. But it's almost been a little bit of, you know, all or nothing for you.
Yeah, and you know what? The event that I did not so good in Florida was the event after practice that, I mean, I found an area that I really thought was going to be dynamite. And it was kind of like the area that I won in Sabine. It was a really long ways off. It was isolated. And you know, John Cox shows up and, you know, if you're in Florida and John Cox is fishing around you, you're probably in a pretty good area. And neither one of us caught him real good. And both of us agreed that after practice, you know, we really, really thought it was going to go down in there, and it just didn't. So, you know, that happens sometimes. You have a good practice and the tournament don't go so good. And sometimes you have a terrible practice and things work out. So you just never know.
Jason Christie with us coming off his win at the Sabine River. Let's go back to that for a moment, the Sabine. This spot was so random and so remote. Now, you're a veteran. You've been around for a minute. Did you know about this before? Because I don't know. How do you stumble across something like that?
Well, going there's two things I wanted to do. I wanted to get away from the salt water, and I wanted to get away from other anglers. And I had actually been in that creek before the last time the Elite Series was there. I practiced in that creek a little bit, and I got some bites, but a lot of them were small. And I, you know, it was just one of those where I was just kind of eliminating water and went in there and started getting some bites and got some good bites in practice and pretty much decided that that's where I was going to fish. It was weird because the fish in this creek were pre-spawn, and everything else that I was catching in other areas was post-spawn. I think it was due to the current in the river and the current in the creek, but you know, anytime I can fish for pre-spawn over post-spawn, I'm going to. They're just more predictable. They're going to weigh a half a pound heavier. So yeah, it was kind of luck, you know, I on finding the place, but I had been in there before and you know, it was just, like I said, one of those things. I was wanting to get as far away from that salt water as I could.
You know, and in the first 2 days, it looked like you might run away with this thing. Brock Mosley was there with you, but not in that spot, but on the leaderboard. 15 pounds day one, 14 pounds day two. Those are huge bags at the Sabine. You get up there day three, everything's flooded. And I don't think it was an exaggeration. I think they said the water had come up 6 feet. On day four, they actually showed video of what it looked like in the same exact spot on day two versus what it looked like on the final day. And you could literally see graphically the difference in the water. Did you have a clue at all? Did you know that they were dumping that water, you know, out of Rayburn or anything like that? Or was it a total shock when you got up there and saw that everything was flooded?
It was a shock. You know, I was doing a pretty good job during practice and the first day of the event looking at the water release out of Toledo. And you know, we hadn't had really any rain. And so I honestly didn't even look at it going into the third day. And when I roll in up there, it was just, I mean, I was shocked. I had no clue. And it kind of caught me off guard. But I guess that Toledo was on the rise due to maybe some rain or them just holding the water. And they decided, I actually called after the third day. I called the dam and they said, you know, we're just for the weekend, we're going to let it run. And that's what made the water go up. I would, you know, I don't want to change anything because I won, but I'd really like to know what I would have caught out of that creek had it not come up. You know, I don't know that I could have done 15 pounds a day, but I really believe that, you know, I could have caught another 12 or 13 each day if the conditions would have stayed the same. Because there was some, and I think they were coming in. That was, you know, that was the deal, because the first day of practice, I mean, the day that I went in there and practiced, I only got one big bite. And then, you know, the first day of the tournament, I got five big bites in about 30 minutes. And then the next day, the same stretch, five bites. So I think there was fish coming in, and I wasn't just fishing for resident fish. So, but anyway, the water come up. I squeaked it out. I really was surprised when I got back. You know, I figured catching 8 pounds the last day, I would fall two or three places at least. And I was shocked whenever I got, you know, whenever we weighed in and everybody struggled as much as they did, because usually, you know, those guys that hang around that release area on the last day, they usually catch 10 or 11 pounds. But, you know, I had decided that's where I was going, and that was the best option for me. But totally shocked that nobody else caught a big bag that last day.
Never gave it a second thought. 6-12 on day three, and you were going there no matter what. That was it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those deals where, you know, I was kind of thinking about staying close and fishing. But if I would have stayed close, I would have been wondering the whole day, you know, what's the water level up there? What if I go up that creek farther and get away from the high water? So I knew that if I went up there and fished, win, lose, or draw, I would know all of that stuff. I would know what happened. And I would be fishing by myself. So that's just kind of my style. I want to go do my own deal. And I'm a pretty stubborn fisherman. I mean,
yeah,
people
you
know
are.
That. I've lost some events because of my stubbornness, but also I've won some events because of my stubbornness. So I don't see me changing anytime soon.
Yeah, and with the classic, the 2022 Classic being back at Hartwell, more unfinished business because you were so close there to winning that one, and so you'll have a great opportunity to go back. In our last minute, I got to ask you. You know, a lot of the guys who left the Elite Series and didn't come back. One of the things they talked about was the crowds and the difference and the thing that they missed there. Just talk about what it was like in Orange, Texas, to be able to go on there and stand on that stage and just see thousands of people at that weigh-in.
Yeah, you know, I've never made the weekend at Sabine. The first three Elite Series, you know, I just hear from other guys how big the crowd was. And, you know, it did not disappoint whatsoever, you know, seeing that crowd. And, you know, and honestly, we probably would have had more if the virus, you know, still wasn't lingering. But we had a giant crowd, and everybody was really, really polite and wanted us there. It didn't matter if I was 70 miles up that river getting gas or at the weigh-in. I mean, people wanted us there. People are happy that we're there. And you know, I got a little different outlook on the place now. I mean, everybody knows the fishing stuff.
Right.
You can't expect fish to be dynamite in an area where there's saltwater intrusion. It's just not going to be. But you know, I like a tough event every now and then, and I think some of the other guys do. I know the fans like to see a tough event, and anytime you go to an area where people are just open arms, they want you there, and they, you know, there wasn't any locals out there fishing as far as, you know, following us, fishing the places that we were fishing. It's just they want us there, and we're going back. I mean, I would be shocked if we don't go back multiple times in the next 10 to 15 years. So, I like the place. I mean,
yeah, sure.
I really do.
Sure, you really do. Now you pulled $100,000 out of there. We appreciate you. Jason Christie has been our guest. Jason, good luck coming up at Fork. And who knows? Maybe we'll be talking again this year.
I hope so. I'd love to go back to back.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Thank you. That's Jason Christie. What a great guy and a great angler right there. All right, we'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and as we idle this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Get your official Bassmaster merchandise at Bassmaster.shop. Hats, shirts, hoodies, and more, all in your favorite outdoor brands in great Bassmaster styles. Plus, Bassmaster.shop has official Bass Nation merchandise. Shop for yourself or get gifts for your friends and family. Look for great deals every week at Bassmaster.shop, the only place to buy official Bassmaster and Bassmaster Classic gear. Now's the time also to sign up for Rappel Up Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing, with prizes for 1st through 20th place in each elite event and the Bassmaster Classic. Plus, one grand prize winner will receive a $15,000 Bass Pro Shop shopping spree, $5,000 cash, and a variety prize pack from Rappel Up, a total value of more than $20,000. In fact, a grand total of more than $90,000 in prizes are available this year. So visit BassmasterFantasy.com to register and pick your team for the next event. And while you're there, join our Bassmaster Radio group and win tremendous prizes from Rapala, Enigma Fishing, Phoenix Boats, Missile Baits, and visit Anderson.com. Just go to the groups button and search Bassmaster Radio. And now there's a new way to play fantasy fishing as well. Introducing the Mercury Bassmaster Drain the Lake Challenge. Drain the Lake requires players to use an entirely different strategy. Drain the Lake is considered an elimination pool game. In other words, players can only pick an Elite Series angler one time during the course of the season. Unlike traditional fantasy fishing, there are no buckets. Tournament players select any 8 Elite Series anglers. After you choose an angler for a specific event, you can no longer select that angler for the remainder of the season. Now get this, the Drain the Lake winning player, along with the rest of the top 5 players from each Elite Series tournament and the Classic, will receive a prize package from Mercury, which includes one Mercury backpack, one Mercury wall clock, one Mercury 12-can cooler bag, and a Mercury first aid kit, plus a Mercury hat and one Mercury hoodie. And a $500 Bass Pro Shops gift card will be rewarded to any individual winner who is a Bass member. The grand prize winner for the entire season will win a fishing trip with Mark Zona in Michigan with airfare and hotel included. Coming up next, it's the BassPro.com Bassmaster Open at Douglas Lake out of Dandridge, Tennessee, and we'll have the winner joining us next week on the show. Remember, if you missed any of today's show, it's always available just to click away at Bassmaster.com/radio or hit the watch button and click on Bassmaster Radio.